Hello and welcome to our December reflective service. We're grateful to everyone who's taken part in this recording, especially for those for whom this was a completely new experience. We hope that you will enjoy our selection of carols, reflections, prayers and readings, and it will help you feel part of Queen's Road family, especially if you're not able to join with us in person at this time. May this Christmas be a time of joy and blessing, and a special encounter with the one who is Emmanuel, God with us.
The birth of John the Baptist foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favour and taken away my disgrace among the people."
The first chapter of Luke takes us into the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth, a devoutly religious Jewish couple, both descended from priestly families. We're taken into the temple, the very heart of Jewish piety. We're taken to the sacred ceremony of the burning of incense. Worshippers are assembled, and they are in prayer. At this time in Israel's history, there were 24 divisions of priests. There were more priests than sacred duties for them to perform, and so they cast lots to decide who would do what. It was a rare privilege to enter the holy place and offer incense, and some priests would never have the opportunity to do it. Those who did were only allowed to do it once. So it was something very special. And on this occasion, the casting of lots favoured Zechariah. If you want to see the benefits of religion, they're all here. Zechariah's division was on duty. Religion teaches us the importance of duty. We may like what we have to do, or we may not. But we do it anyway, because it's our duty. Zechariah was serving as priest before God. Serving sounds like menial tasks, boring, repetitive tasks. But religion teaches us the value of service, because God is watching. Zechariah's priestly duty was according to the custom of the priesthood. There was a set procedure, passed down from one generation to the next. The time and the place, as well as the procedure, were firmly established. Everyone knew what to do and when to do it. These are the parameters of religion: duty, service, custom, tradition. Elizabeth and Zechariah had a hidden heartache. They had no children. In their culture, that was a disgrace. It was regarded as a punishment from God, or at best, a withholding of his blessing. They were past the age when they could have children, and so that happiness was never to be theirs. They were blameless, but barren. Today in our generation, there are still thousands, millions of people leading a religious life. They are blameless. They will say they are doing their best. They live clean lives. They do as they would be done by. They may not be as good as some, but they're better than most. Perhaps that's how you see the Christian life, religion. But in it there's a barrenness. There's something missing. There's an element of the blessing of God that simply isn't there. It's for people like that, people like you, if you're one of them, that the Christmas message is particularly relevant. Suddenly, for Zechariah and Elizabeth, the transforming power of God broke through the daily round of religion. It challenged them to see that their faith was not really faith at all. They were praying, but not expecting, quite literally, in Elizabeth's case. God promised them a son, the removal of their disgrace. But how could it be? To do this would take nothing less than a miracle, if barrenness was to give way to blessing. It can be like that for us in worship. We know it's a privilege, but it can become routine. We know what to expect. We've offered specific prayers and they've never been answered, and we feel they probably never will. But God can break through that cycle of routine in a new way. The story of Zechariah teaches us that you're never too old for God to do something new for you. God broke through the strictures of religion to do something new. Not just the privilege of offering incense, not even just the unbelievable experience of being visited by an angel, but the privilege of having a son in his old age. And what a son! The one who would be the forerunner of the Messiah, the one who would go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. But there's another lesson in the life of Zechariah, and it's this. You're never too old to falter in your faith. Who would ever have thought that this man of all men would falter in his faith? This man who had been dedicated to the priesthood all his life. This man who was upright, obedient, and blameless. This man who had consistently turned the reproaches of the people into prayer and trusted that God would do all things well. All his life, he served God faithfully, and finally, when he was old and God was about to do for him the most amazing thing of all, his faith failed. You know what they say, there's no fool like an old fool, and old age is no guarantee against a faltering faith. Perhaps that's where you are today. God is offering peace, and you can only feel fear. God is offering joy, and you can only feel sorrow. God is offering grace, and you can only feel reproach. God is challenging you to faith, and you can only feel doubt. There should be a vibrant song in your mouth, and there's only an uncomfortable silence. The good news is that Zechariah's story didn't end like this for him, and it needn't end like this for you. His recovery didn't happen overnight. There were long months of silence and awkwardness, regret and misunderstanding, that gnawing sense of failure pervading every waking moment. But it wasn't forever. The promise of joy was fulfilled. He knew a moment would come when he would have to take his stand and demonstrate his obedience in public. And when that moment came, he was ready. It wouldn't be easy, but it would change everything. Never too old to be used by God. Never too old to regress into doubt. And never too old to get back to the place of obedience and joy. A few years ago, someone was looking at Christmas cards in the shops and said, "Look, they're even bringing religion into Christmas." The truth is that the coming of Jesus Christ into the world was designed to take religion out of Christmas and to replace it with the dynamic of the presence and power of God in our lives, to introduce us to the possibility of the miraculous.
Let's pray. Most gracious God, we bring you our humble gratitude that we are permitted, indeed invited, to come into your presence at any time and just as we are. For Zechariah, it was a rare and sacred privilege to enter the Holy of Holies, and it is no less a privilege for us. Our confidence is in Jesus alone, in the new and living way he bought for us when he redeemed us at Calvary. Never let us take it for granted, nor rush into your presence without first acknowledging the one who made it possible. Forgive us, Lord, when worship has become routine, empty and barren, the thing we just do. When prayer is a self-centered list of wants and not a means by which we may offer you the heartfelt praise and adoration of our hearts. Loving Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that many times our faith, like that of Zechariah, has faltered, and not just in old age. We have allied fear, anxiety, doubt, and maybe even apathy to grasp hold of us. Turn our hearts back to the wealth of joy, peace, grace, and hope you offer us. Grant that we may know, right there in the midst of the joys and sorrows, the deep reality of your loving presence. When the disciples were hiding in the upper room immediately after the death of Jesus, their hearts filled with sorrow, fear, bewilderment, and uncertainty about what lay ahead, Jesus came through the closed doors of their situation and spoke, "Peace be with you." May the presence of Jesus comfort our hearts today, and may the power of Jesus enable us to be used in his service wherever he has placed us, to his glory and honour.
Oh, The reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 to 67, and the heading is The Birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared in her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbours were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit.